Today on Real Radio.
He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison and said, go tell these things to James. Don't confuse James 7 in verse 17 to James in verse 2. And I don't mean to wig you out too much. This is the James that is referenced in Scripture to Jesus' half-brother. And depending upon what kind of a religious background you had, get a load of this. Jot down in your notes Jude chapter 1, verse 1, and Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 55 and verse 56. Now write them down because you're going to wig out. This James in verse 17 is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. This is the son of Joseph and Mary. Hang on, it gets better.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the first 19 verses of chapter 12. Peter had been thrown into prison because Herod evidently wanted to please the people who were in defiance of the gospel. But King Herod was in for a surprise. You see, believers had been praying for Peter, and those prayers were answered. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in his presentation called When God Answers Prayer.
And God says, give me your problem. Cast all your care upon me. I'll care for you. But we're afraid to do that. And we're so funny, we're like a fly fisherman. First time I saw a fly fisherman, it freaked me out because he's got this little fly on the end and he throws it out and throws it back. Throws it out, throws it back. Throws it out, and throws it back. What a kind of a weird fish thing is this? You got to get the bait in the water. But that guy knew exactly what he was doing. But we are like spiritual fly fishermen. We're goofing up all the time, man. We get out there, Lord, I'm going to cast my care upon you. And I'm going to take it right back again. And we reel it back in. Let me, and oh, I got to worry about this. I've got to hang on to this. And then, yes, Lord, I'm supposed to cast this onto you. And we throw it out to him. And then we are so uncomfortable about peace that we reel in this stupid thing that we're worrying about. Cast all your cares upon him. You know, the church is praying. Peter's in prison. And we have the luxury of John chapter 15, verse 7, that tells us there that if God's word abides in our heart, we may ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. That's a promise from the Bible. Isn't that radical? The key is his word abiding in our hearts. This is the church praying. Watch what happens. Was the word abiding in their hearts? We'll see. It says in verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. This is funny, because Peter's absolutely asleep. Can you imagine an angel showing up? And he's there, and there's a light glowing, and Peter's, he's just sawing logs. He's out, there's an angel. And I think the angel went, psst, Peter, Peter, Peter. Get up! Because the word struck in the Greek, it's funny, it can go either way. It can be to push, to stimulate, or to push to a fatal point. You can, same word is used. You can push somebody in this word, and depending on the context, to the point that you kill them. Which is kind of funny, because knowing Peter like you do, and like I do, it's somewhere between a gentle arousal and almost knocking him out to death. It's like, Peter, get up. Peter, get up. And Peter woke up and look at his, he doesn't stand to his feet and say, oh my gosh, an angel. What's going on here? He's aroused. The angel strikes him, verse 7, and look, and raises him up. The angel's got to lift him up, saying, arise quickly, will you? It doesn't say, will you? I'm just throwing that in. It's, get up. It's funny, angels, when they appear in the Bible, they're always in a hurry. It's true. Have you ever noticed that? They're always in a hurry. They're never hanging around. They show up, they do their thing, and they get out. So he says, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell off of his hands. That had to make a noise, don't you think? Chains hitting the ground, but yet nobody wakes up. Peter's barely awake. Verse 8, then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself." This cracks me up. Watch. "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." All these little commands. Stand up. Put your shoes on. Put your jacket on. Comb your hair. Straighten your tie. What's the matter with you? I mean, Peter's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? He doesn't have a clue. We're going to see it in a moment that he's thinking that he's having a dream. I wish we could have seen this. Don't you wish Spielberg would do this? Wouldn't it be great? The angel says, "Follow me." I think I would do that. Verse 9, so he went out and he followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. He doesn't have a clue. Whoa, what a dream. I sure need this to happen in my life. He doesn't have a clue. Just like you and I, God is working in your life right now. Oh, no, he's not, because you don't know what I'm bound to. I've got First Interstate on the left. I've got, Visa to the right. I've got this in front of me, and it's hopeless. Hey, listen, God works in hopeless situations. The scripture says that these things were written as an example for us. We need to trust in him. We need to follow him. But we think our situation is so impossible that God could never do it. And he's doing it right now, even in the midst of your doubt. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second guard post, basically we're talking about going through Pentagon clearances here to get out of this place, or trying to get into Disneyland, take your pick, either way. We're talking major security here. We're talking major obstacles. They came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. I like that. So Peter walks up there, and there's this angel, presses this little button, I guess, and this garage door opener thing does that. It's automatic. The angel and him walk up and the gate opens. Peter's now saying, what an awesome dream. This is a great dream. I could sure have this happen in my life. That would be great. And immediately, verse 10, the angel departed from him. Peter's all alone. And when Peter had come to himself, that is, he came to his own mind. See, he's been kind of wigged out this whole time. He's been in the daze. This can't be happening. But it says right here in verse 11, he came to himself. And I love this. He talks to himself too. It says that he said to himself, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Why did he go there? How did he know to go there? This is the upper room where Jesus had the Last Supper. This is Mary Mark's house. Her son, John Mark. Remember John Mark? John Mark's the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. This is the upper room. It was known to hang out for Christians. It appears in other portions of Scripture. It was a neat place of fellowship where people gathered together for celebrating the Passover and for prayer. So Peter gets out of prison and he heads for the prayer meeting. He heads to that godly home. And it says in verse 13, as Peter knocked, you ought to mark that. It's not three knocks and let's wait. He knocked three times. That word in the Greek means he knocked maybe four times. Now he's going knocking and knocking. He kept knocking. Well, Jack, what are you getting on them for? What was the big deal? It's a prayer meeting. Can you see this? We're praying. We're in here. We're praying. We're in the upper room. Somebody's knocking. Don't answer that door. It's a prayer meeting. They'll go away. Let's just stay focused on God. Don't let it, just forget it. Just stay focused on God. Let's pray. Stay focused on him. Don't worry about the doors. Just stay focused on God. and he's is not going away. With that going on, keep reading. You can hear the knocks in the background. Verse 13, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda, or Rose, or Rosie, came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, verse 15, you're out of your mind. This is a prayer meeting. We're praying for Peter to be released. What do you mean he's standing at the door? You can just see he's knocking. Somebody goes, look, will you get the door? This guy is not going to go away. So she goes over there. They send the little maid, Rhoda. She goes over there, opens the door. Slam. You guys, it's Peter. It's Peter. It's Peter. Get up. Come on. Come on. It's Peter. Shh. You're crazy. We are praying that God would deliver Peter. How can he be at the gate? We are men of faith. We are men of action. Don't tell us that he's at the gate because we've got a mission and we're praying that God would do that. But he's here. Hey, listen, don't let anyone ever tell you that the reason why it didn't happen is because you didn't have enough faith. Listen, sometimes you pray and God doesn't answer. Sometimes you pray and God answers. God is sovereign, even when it comes to prayer. You cannot tell him what to do because you've decided to pray and fast for 40 days. God is not moved. He's not under pressure because of your action. But you see, true prayer is when God stimulates your heart to talk to him about it and to seek his face because he's got an answer. And sometimes it's just to strengthen our own faith and our own discipline. Do we realize, will we ever learn that sometimes God puts a burden or a situation into your life and you go to him in prayer and you're crying out to him and God says, I'm not going to fix it. It's a crisis in your life. I'm with you. And the reason why it's in your life is because I'm taking you through this and I'm going to show you that I'm with you all along the way. Those are hard lessons to learn, aren't they? Those are tough. You see, I want God to do it now. I want God to fix it now. Well, these guys are praying. And poor Rhoda, they think she's a wacko. I wish we could have been there. Verse 15, you're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, hey, it's his angel then. What's with these guys? They're praying for Peter's release. Okay, look. If there's somebody there, it's his angel, okay? It's an angel. I don't know. If I were in this prayer meeting, I would have gotten up to look at the angel. Wow, look at that angel. Matthew's gospel and Hebrews tells us that each of us have our angel. You've heard of the guardian angels. You know, well, you know, that's scriptural. We have an angel that represents our face before the Father day and night. That's pretty neat. So, by the way, this is also a little picture into their belief of the supernatural. But it just cracks me up. These guys are so committed to prayer that they're not even going to get up for an angel. In fact, they're not even going to get up when God answers the prayer. They're just going to keep going. You're beside yourself. Oh, it's an angel. Don't worry about it. Verse 16, now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. Now, I don't know about you, man. You come to a prayer meeting, there's obviously people here. Maybe it's all of them. They're thinking, I know this isn't going to work. Let's pray. Lord, release. I know he's got tetrads of guards around him, 16. Four of them can like fight off an army of 1,000. He's in prison. Nobody escapes from that place. They already killed James. Peter's the next big guy in the church. He's out of here. I know it. So, Lord, deliver him. You've already defeated yourself in the whole thing, man. Sometimes it's if we know too much about a situation, we can't pray about it. I don't want to know too much about the details because I get defeated. You come up, you go, you know what? This happened, and that happened, and this happened, and I need this, and I need that, and I need this. And I'm just going, oh, man, you know what? We ought to just go out and, like, jump off the pier then. It's too impossible, but God does it. Don't tell me the detail. Let's just pray. Because I don't want my faith messed up, man. If I know too much, it's like, oh, no, I don't know if I can believe on this one. But listen, the thing is, God's going to do it. He's going to do what he wants to do. But it cracks me up, man. People come to a prayer meeting. I don't think this works. Stay home. Don't come to the prayer meeting. Have you noticed there's two types of people who believe in prayer? People who are in a great crisis. They come and they cry out to God. And people who are in prayer ministry. The prayer chain ministry here. They get the crisis and then they get the answer. They know what's going on. How do you handle this? True story. How do you handle this? So-and-so has cancer. Doesn't look good. Send it to the prayer chain. Goes to the prayer chain. Goes to the doctor. Comes back. Goes back to the doctor. Comes back. Doctors are all upset. Can't find the cancer anymore. Start to blame it on some little clerk that put the file in the wrong place. Trying to blame it on everybody. Yet the data's there. Cancer's gone. It's just like Rhoda standing at the door. He's here. He's done it. God's answered. Oh, how can that be? And you know it. Don't tell me you don't. Because when a Christian comes up to you and says, I was healed of leukemia, you go, oh, praise the Lord. I doubt it. Don't you? It's probably the flu. Listen, you want to know a trick? You want to get some? You want to get an effective, fervent prayer for you? Go to the children's ministry across the street and have them pray for you. Are you kidding? That you can go in there and tell them, you know what? I'm blind and I'm deaf and I can't talk, and I need God to heal me. And they'll say, okay, let's lay hands on them. Let's pray. They don't have a problem with that. Because you know, when you're that age, everything's big. But when you're that age, God is humongous. And we need to learn from that. Peter's chains fall off. He's set free. He's at the door. He's knocking. They're astonished. Verse 17, but motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, you could just see this, shh, guys, they're going to hear me. He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison and said, go tell these things to James. Don't confuse James 7 in verse 17 to James in verse 2. And I don't mean to wig you out too much. This is the James that is referenced in Scripture to Jesus' half-brother. And depending upon what kind of a religious background you had, get a load of this. Jot down in your notes Jude chapter 1, verse 1. And Matthew's Gospel 13, chapter 13, verse 55 and verse 56. Now write them down because you're going to wig out. This James in verse 17 is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. This is the son of Joseph and Mary. Hang on, it gets better. Jesus, born of Mary by the Holy Spirit, not Joseph, was the half-brother of six other siblings referred to in Scripture. We have the names of every one of his brothers, and we know that he's got two sisters. From Matthew 13, 55 and 56. Now I see you writing down that verse. Isn't that radical? Mary was not a perpetual virgin. She had six other children after Jesus was born, through Joseph, of course, not of the Holy Spirit. This is the James that is related to Jesus as half-brother. And so, we'll keep going here and wrap this up. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers, verse 18, about what had become of Peter. That is a very quaint way of saying it was a radical blowout of a mess. King James says, there was no small stir. That means there was a massive tornado going on about what's happened here. Verse 19, and when Herod had searched for him and did not find him. This is not the first time Peter's been miraculously delivered from prison, you know. He examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. It's Roman law that the person that you were guarding, if they were guilty of robbery and he was to have his hand cut off and you're guarding this guy If he escaped, you know what they would do? If you're the guard, they'd cut your hand off. That's Roman law. If somebody that you were assigned to take from the jail room to the courthouse in Rome was guilty of cutting some guy's eyes out of his head, and that guy got away, they would cut your eyes out of your head. It's Roman law. That's how we know he was going to kill Peter. That's how we know Herod was going to kill Peter. Because they killed, or he killed, the guards that were watching him. Because you see, if killing James brought favor with Herod and the religious leadership, how much more favor would he get by killing Peter? And this situation was alleviated because of prayer. People were praying. When you come to a prayer meeting, when you come to church, you need to come expecting God to move. Now, I know this message this morning was not very evangelistic, but for the Christian, it challenges us to pray. The next time we see each other, we need to be expectant in prayer. When we come to the prayer meetings, listen, we ought to get ready for God to move. Daniel 11:32 says, those who knew their God did great exploits. We're not great. I'm not great, you're not great, but he's great. And when we come to prayer, we better be ready. Listen, you see a woman, and I'll end with a story. You see a woman who's pregnant. Every month she's growing more and more and more. What do you think's going on in there? As she gets closer to the date, she's ready. She's expecting. You can look around at all the evidence. She's waiting. When we come to church, we better be pregnant with expectation. We better be pregnant with hope that God is going to move. The church, this church, right now, if we pray, 2 Chronicles 7:4, seek his face. If we humble ourselves and pray, if we spiritually, oh boy, don't take me wrong on this one. If we are spiritually pregnant with burden, pregnant with care, pregnant with crisis, we come before God and say, God help! And God helps. And we need to pray.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When God Answers Prayer, a look at the first 19 verses of Acts chapter 12. We'll continue with our journey through the book of Acts on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, we are talking about events that happened in Israel during the Roman Empire. Yet, some 2,000 years later, Israel continues to be the hot point of the planet in many ways, while the so-called mainstream media is only going to give us part of the story. So in January, we're hosting the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, a 3-day event, the 11th, 12th, and 13th. In fact, just visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll learn just about everything you need to know about registration, local accommodations, and airports if you're coming from out of town, and the amazing lineup of speakers. All in one weekend. Now, it is a ticketed event, but it's only $25 for the entire weekend. Again, SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, toll free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.